This morning we're going to record our last magnetic tape. From this point on, of course, we've been recording magnetic tape and CDs for quite a while, but because of cost and labor, it's just, and the technology is going outdated. Everything's going to CDs now, so it's just pushing us that way. So financially and labor-wise and technologically, we have to step up with everybody else if we're going to communicate. So today's our last magnetic tape taping. From this time on, it'll be CDs only. Should we have a funeral? Okay. God bless it. Goodbye. It's done, okay? Okay. This morning, we'll be in the last chapter of 2 Peter. I'll read it, and then we'll come back. This second epistle, beloved, I now write to you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens of old were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store and reserved unto the day against the day of judgment, into fire rather, against the day of judgment, and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise of some men, as some men count slackness, but it is long suffering to the usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be both glory now and forever. Amen. Okay? Let's go back and see what he's got to say to us. Now, we've got to know that this language is incorrect in a lot of areas. Got to be some things changed to put it back to what the Greek language says and what the Spirit is telling us. And the first verse says, this second epistle, or this second letter, beloved, I now write to you, in which I provoke your pure mind. See, stirring up is one way to say it, but provoking something means you're making it come up, you know. I like the word provoke. That's what the Greek says it is anyway. I like the word provoke. I like provocativeness. I like someone who's provocative because they provoke me to think. And if I'm provocative, I can put something in you to make you think, to use the mind that God gave you. Not listening to what I'm saying necessarily, but saying something that will provoke you to thinking. And if I can provoke anyone to thinking, I have accomplished my job for that person, haven't I? Okay? So he said, I write to you in both which I provoke your pure minds. Now, what's he talking about here? Your carnal mind or your spiritual mind? Your spiritual mind. By way of what? Now, literally, it doesn't say the word remembrance. Now, the Greek says this, reminding. By way of, by reminding, okay? Now, there's two ways to look at reminding. And one is, I'm trying to make you remember something. But reminding is putting another mind in there, isn't it? I'm taking the old mind out and putting a new mind in. That's exactly what he said in Ezekiel. I'm going to take the old heart out and give you a new one, right? I'm going to give you the mind of Christ. And he said, I'm stirring things up in you. He's talking about this mind of Christ. He said, I'm going to stir up here by reminding you, by putting on this mind of Christ on you, by stirring your and provoking you into thinking so you understand how to think. See, everybody thinks about something, but they don't know how to think, how to put things together, okay? So we need to think about how God did things and why he did them, okay? And we'll learn things. Into the second verse, he says that you, cross out that word may, because it's an added word, that you be mindful or be reminded, again, see, be reminded. I need that new mind, that mind of Christ. Of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior or Deliverer. Okay? It comes from the word soter, which means to deliver, deliverer. The root word is sozo, which is deliver. But it's not Savior, it's deliverer. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. This word scoffer is not correct. It means false teachers. In the last day there will be false teachers, not walking, but living. Okay? According to, not after, but according to their own lusts. You know, we have a few of them running around. Majority of them are doing that. They're living to whatever they think in their mind. Now see, I could do the same thing they did if I wanted to be like everybody else. I don't want to be like everybody else. God didn't create me as everybody else. He created me unique just like he created you unique and everyone else in the world unique. And I'm supposed to do it the way God says to do it. And if they want to do it like humanity does it and religion does it, that's okay with me because it ain't nothing to do with me. But I got to live according to what God shows me, not according to my own lust. And we're not just talking about sexual lust here. There's lust for all kinds of things in life. Power, control, finances, you know, wealth, positions, notoriety, all these things. There's a lust in the mind of humanity for that stuff. So whatever it takes to get there, that's what they'll do. I'm not concerned about any of it. I'm not concerned about being someone of notable notoriety all over the world. There's people talking about me all over the world now. And it may not be good, but it doesn't make any difference. I know what I'm doing is right, and that's all I can do. I can't do anything else. I can only control what I think. And remember what I've said for a long time now? What someone else thinks about me is none of my business. That's their business. See? And right or wrong, it's their business, not mine. And why do you think there's so many people going insane, committing suicide, doing all these stupid things because they're worried about what someone else thinks? I don't have to worry about anything, and I really don't have to worry about that at all. I only had one person I was concerned with, and that was my father. But now that I know what my father thinks, nobody else has any say in it to me. I know my father loves me. End of discussion. I don't have to worry about anybody else. I know there's other people love me and the people that hate me. It doesn't make any difference. I know my father loves me, and that's the important one, right? If I know my father loves me, then I don't have to worry about anything else. No matter what happens, my father loves me. That'll cover everything. Doesn't it say that love covers the multitude of sin? It covers it all. And I know that my Father's love covers everything, see? And everybody else can preach whatever deluded message or perverted or twisted message they want to. I don't care because that's not me. They can do what they want to. But I have to understand that God's love covers it all. If that don't cover it, then there is no such thing as being covered, is there? It just doesn't exist. Okay. Knowing this first, oh, we did that in three, didn't we? Their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Now see, because they say, where's the promise of his coming? When's he going to show up? When's God going to be here? When's Jesus going to return? Well, they missed it. Because they were looking external, they missed the fact that he came internal. He come and dwelt in a tabernacle prepared, right? And he went to the cross to prepare this tabernacle, to cover all the sin of the world, so that God could dwell within his children. See? That's all. They just missed it. Okay. And he says, because since the fathers died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. They're saying, nothing's ever changed. Duh. It ought to make you think if you're going to church. If nothing's ever changed and it's the same in church, if nothing ever changed, they just put another wrapping on the package and say, here it is. It's something new. It's just a new wrapping. When you unwrap it, it's got the same doctrines, the same dogmas that they've had for thousands of years. True? They're still living under the law of do and don't do. That's the same package that was under the law, and we're under a new covenant. No, they're hanging on to everything. I'm not hanging on the cross. That's over with. The resurrection is past. It's already done. We don't have to worry about that no more. It's already taken care of. Okay, verse 5. Because of this, they willingly are ignorant. Notice the word willingly. It's really there. See, they're willing. They don't want to hear the truth. You'd be surprised if people said, oh, don't take that away from me, Lord. I don't want to hear that. That'd make me responsible. Duh. Right? Yeah, you're responsible. We're all responsible for ourselves. And we need to understand. We need to know this truth, and it will change the way we think. But they're willingly ignorant because by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth was formed, not standing, but was formed out of the water and in the water. The earth was formed out of the water and in the water. We go back to Genesis 1, you can see all the creation, how it was done. That's not the point. Okay. In verse 6 it says, whereby, now notice, it says, the heavens and the earth were formed out of the water and in the water. Now the next verse says, whereby the world, different word, it's cosmos. It's the orderly arrangement. Now we're not talking about the earth and the water. We're talking about the orderly arrangement in the mind of humanity. They were changed. And everybody tries to put this together. It's not the same thing. That's what God is taking, the seed of humanity here. He said the world that was then, or at that time, was being overflowed with water or rain, perished. It was being overflowed with during the flood, perished or was destroyed. The earth was destroyed, not the spirit. Right? It's the word cosmos. It means the orderly arrangement. The word world there is cosmos. It's 2889 in the Strong's Dictionary. And it means the orderly arrangement in the mind of humanity. So this word world here is not talking about the earth and the heavens. It's talking about the arrangement in our minds. The natural way of looking at it versus the spiritual way. Yeah, the earthly way. The mind of humanity. Just like when Adam said in the garden, I'm going to do it my way. When he said, I'll do it this way, I'll set in the sides of the north, I'll be like Most High God. That was him rebelling against God's way of doing things and making the arrangement according to what he wanted. He created his own mess. See? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. See? This is all a spiritual thing here. People trying to make literal. This is how they talk about the end time. It has nothing to do with that. To the new mind. Absolutely. Absolutely. Verse 7. But the heavens and the earth which are now, and it should say the heavens and earth now, the words which are added words, should say, but the heavens and the earth now by the same word, what word are we talking about? The word of God. The same word are what? Are kept in store, literally should say they are amassed. The heavens and earth are amassed, okay? Past, not one jot or tittle can be. Matthew 5:18-19. They'll be kept in store or amassed and guarded from loss or injury or preserved. Okay, when it says reserved, it'll be guarded from loss or injury or preserved to fire. And it should say by fire. So they were reserved by fire. See, the fire in our life is what's preserving us. The things that everybody complain about are the very things that is preserving us. It is taking and doing away with the negative in our life, right? It's burning the dross out of us, bringing it to the surface so we can get rid of it. So the very thing that preserves us is what everybody's trying to get away from because it's not comfortable. There's the problem that they have. See, Peter's saying some deep things here, and he says about Paul speaking about some hard things. Peter's saying things very few people understand too. But they are preserved in the fire, or by the fire, against or into the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly, it says men, but it's the wrong word. It's anthropos. It's humanity. See, the destruction of ungodly humanity. And isn't that what's going to be destroyed anyway? The flesh? Humanity will be destroyed, not the Spirit of God within us. Just the old nature is going to go. And see, and it says, into the day of judgment. Everybody looks at the judgment as being a bad thing. It's a good thing. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he set the judgment forth. Father, forgive them. Now, so when Father looks at you now, what's he got to say? Not guilty. You're not guilty. My first son took care of it all. Christ took care of it all on the cross. So I don't have to worry about judgment. Judgment's a good thing because you're going to be saying, not guilty. You're innocent. You're unblameable. You're unaccusable. You're holy. You're righteous. Sure. Yeah. You'll see it. It's okay because God used that to bring you to perfection. That's all it's for. This life is doing nothing but bringing you to understand who you are. And if God just created you and said, okay, you're perfect, you're never going to have to experience anything, would you really believe it? If you walk through and experience it, what are you going to do now? You're going to understand everything that's in the heart of God because he said, you're going to experience it. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. By the things we go through. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think Peter's got some good stuff in here. Okay, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, because one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. I can go back and pull up scripture out of the Old Testament where it says something very similar to that. But what is the intent of it? Time is irrelevant. There you go. See, time is irrelevant. You can say it any way you want to there, but time is irrelevant to God, isn't it? Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about the time or nothing. Just let God take care of what he wants to do it his way, and he will in his timing. Time is not relevant to God. That's what he's telling you. He'll do it. It's whenever God's ready, he's going to do it, not before and not after. There you go. That's it. And if people would do that, how nice the world would be, huh? But we have to understand that we have to have those negative, sour, bitter people, revengeful, vengeful people. If we don't have them, who are we going to forgive? Yeah. Hey. Let me say it a better way. It's hard all the time. If it wasn't hard, everybody would be doing it. Yeah, what am I doing wrong? What am I supposed to be learning in this? Yep. That's it. You just do it. So if I can't change it, then just drop it and go on. What am I supposed to learn in it and go on? And you know what? If God doesn't answer you immediately, that means he's wanting you to learn some patience. Just hang in there and it'll still come out, won't it? Going to put you on the back burner and let you simmer a while. It'll be okay, see? Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, or, and the word his is incorrect, the promise. It's the word ho, 3588. It's a definite article. It's not a pronoun, like they put in there. It's a definite article. They mistranslate quite a bit to their own benefit. So the promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, or literally patient, to you, not usward, it's you, the word you. He is long-suffering to you, not desiring, not willing, but not desiring, but that, cross out the word that, not desiring any, and cross out the word should, not desiring any perish, but cross out the word that there too, and all, leave it alone, and then cross out the word should. Let me read it what it should now. The Lord is not slack concerning the promise, as some men count slackness, but is patient to you, not desiring any perish, but all come or enter into repentance. All enter into repentance. That's the way that language should read there. I'll read it again. The Lord is not slack concerning the promise, as some men count slackness, but is patient to you, not desiring any perish, but all enter into repentance. Makes more sense. This other stuff doesn't make any sense. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And you know, everybody pictures that cat burglar thing, but in the context of when they spoke, they had thieves that rode around in bands in the daytime. They just come and took what was theirs, what they wanted to be theirs. They just took it. And he's going to come and take what's his, because it's all his anyway. Heard, yeah. Oh, definitely authority. They came with all the power and authority they could muster. In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements, and that word elements is the orderly arrangement again, okay, cosmos. The orderly arrangement shall do what? Not melt, not burn up. It literally says be loosed or set free. The orderly arrangement will be loosed or set free with fervent heat or fire. The fire is what's going to set it free. The earth also and the works therein that are therein, or in the, now here's the kicker. Let me read this to you again. Slow it down. I'm going to run over it. The elements shall, what, be loosed or set free with fire. The earth also and the works in themselves, and the word is in themselves, not therein, in themselves shall be wholly consumed. When he said the earth, what do you think he's talking about? Us. When he talked about the spiritual thing here, he's talking about the earth and the works therein. Okay? It's all going to be burned up with fire, but it's going to be purified, isn't it? He's talking about all this stuff that we're going through. It's a spiritual thing. We're going through all these turmoils, all these fiery things, these fiery trials he talked about earlier. Don't think it's strange when they come upon you. They're trying you and testing your patience. It's more valuable than gold to God. See? And that's what he's telling us here. That the word, there's two words here for therein, and it means in themselves. So that what's in myself is going to be burned up. He's doing it for you. It's going to be wholly consumed. And we're thinking, because of the natural way they teach this thing, they're teaching that we're going to be thrown in fire and torment in hell for eternity. And that's not what he's talking about. We are the earth he's talking about. And he's going to consume the negative stuff out of us and leave us left with nothing but pure spirit, with the mind of Christ. It's so simple, but they make it so difficult and try to make it natural. What part of God is natural? God is spirit. Well, then why are we trying to make everything natural for? I don't need the shadows and types. The reality of Christ is alive within me today. I don't need shadows and types. I need to know the reality of Christ, don't I? I don't need that stuff. That was under the law. That was when you were learning something. Now when you come to the reality face to face with God, I don't need to know about shadows and types and allegories and Christophanies and theophanies and parables. I need to know the reality of it. See, I need to hear what God is saying to us today. Each one of us individually need to hear what God is saying today. We don't need to play this game that church plays, that one person hears and I'll tell you what God said. Yeah, right. He'll tell you, or he or she'll tell you what they think is advantageous for you as far as they're concerned. I know all kinds of people that had all kinds of words from God, prophetic words. They say, but I can't say that because that would offend somebody. Well, if God said it, what difference does it make to you? You're the mailman. Deliver the message. See? Don't worry about the offenses. Jesus said offenses must come. It's necessary is what that word says. Necessary. Offenses are necessary. So don't worry about it. Just let it loose. Okay, verse 11. Seeing then, cross out the word that, seeing then all these things shall be dissolved. Guess what this word dissolved is here? It's the same one in the verse before that said melt. Why, they can't even get the word consistent in two verses, side by side. So when it says, seeing that all these things shall be loosed or set free, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy reverence, not conversation, reverence, and godliness, excuse me, behavior and godliness, or behavior and reverence. Let's read it again. Verse 7, seeing then that all these things shall be loosed or set free, what manner of person ought you to be in all behavior and reverence? In behavior and reverence. Looking for or anticipating and awaiting eagerly the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire or refined be set free or loosed, that's what it should say, and the orderly arrangements shall melt from the fire. What's he saying? The orderly arrangement of humanity is going to be destroyed by the fire of God. Do you think that's a literal fire? No. Spiritual fires in our minds. Verse 12, we just finished with, into 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, the word dwelleth has more meaning than the word dwelleth. Okay? It says, wherein dwells permanently righteousness. That kind of sounds like eternity, doesn't it? Permanently dwells there. So we're looking for the new heaven, that's the renewed spirit, and a new earth is a spiritual body wherein dwells righteous permanently. And that word permanently is in the language, they just left it out. What? Well, they wouldn't have no control on you if you got everything done permanently. They wouldn't be able to come back and fix you again every weekend. Kind of remind me when I used to be running off-road all the time. I'd work all week to get my vehicle ready so I could tear it up on the weekends, you know. And that's what they do. They work on the weekend so you can go out all week and tear it up and bring it back on the weekend and jack you up and fix you again in here. You know? Don't work that way, does it? It's a lifestyle. It should be all the time. Okay, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, or therefore, seeing that you look for such things, a new heaven and a new earth, the reality of a new spirit and a new body, okay? He said, since you look for these things, be diligent that you, and cross out that word may, that word may there, that you may be found. That word may should not be there. He said, be diligent that you be found by him, not of him, but by him, in peace, without spot, and that word without spot should be unblemished, and blameless or unblameable. I'll read it again. It says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you be found by him in peace, unblemished, and unblameable. Makes sense to me. I'm going to read that in the New American Standard. Oh, I got the Living Bible. Huh, not the one I wanted. Okay, never mind. I'll let that go. Verse 15. And account or consider, the word should be consider, and consider the long-suffering of our Lord is not salvation, but deliverance. Okay? Salvation was taken care of at the cross, wasn't it? We were all saved at the cross. We don't have to worry about that. But we need deliverance from our thinking process, what he's been teaching this whole chapter. We need the deliverance. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Now here's Peter, the one everybody thinks is the great apostle who walked with Jesus and everything. And he's giving honor to Paul as being the one having the greatest wisdom. And you know, that was wisdom in his part to recognize that Paul had the revelation. It's humility. Verse 16 now. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them concerning, not of, but concerning these things. In which, in these things, what things he's talking about? These things, what's he meaning? The things that we've just talked about. He's saying the things we talk about, Paul talks about them in all of his epistles. Okay? He's talking of reconciliation in the mind of Christ. And the judgment of God, they don't understand the judgment of God, so they look at the negative side. He's saying, he does this in all his epistles, okay? Speaking in them concerning these things in which are some things hard to be understood. See, most people say, oh, it's simple. No, it's not simple. When the carnal mind tries to reason what God says, it's not simple. It's a battle. When the mind of Christ looks at these things, they are very simple, okay? He said, which they that are unlearned, or literally ignorant and unstable, rest. Now that word rest is an interesting word because it does not mean rest or wrestle. The Greek word here actually means to pervert or to torture the language in a false sense. To torture the language. You know how bad they butcher this language and torture it and twist it and pervert it? I'm trying to show you some of it here, and that's not all of it, it's just some of it. I mean, this chapter itself is perverted and twisted and tortured. As, and cross out the next two words, they do, should as also the other scriptures, or the remaining scriptures, to their own destruction. Now, the word destruction doesn't even do justice. To their own loss or ruin. The only thing they're losing, their own loss or ruin, is they're losing their reward with God. Okay? They're not losing their lives. They're not going to be in hell for torment for eternity. That's not what it's talking about. They're losing what their reward is with God. Proverbs 17:2 says, a wise servant will have rule over the sons that cause shame, and they'll have part of the inheritance among the brethren. Genesis 15, what's it say? Abraham was complaining about not having someone to receive his inheritance. And God said, I don't have anybody for my inheritance. He said, I am your great and exceeding reward. I am your inheritance. See, God is our inheritance. Okay, verse 17. You therefore, beloved. Now he's talking to us. He said, you therefore, beloved. And if you don't know you're beloved, you need to get straight. You need to get that straight in your head, or you're never going anywhere with God. If you don't realize that God loves you, you've got a problem. Seeing therefore, beloved, you know these things before or ahead of time or beforehand, beware lest you also be led away with the error or the deception of the lawless, the wicked there, the lawless, and fall from your own stability of mind. Be careful that your mind isn't swayed back into the garbage that they send out. Don't let yourself be drawn back into that pit again. If you've been set free, you are free indeed. Correct? So don't let them put the chains back on you. Don't let them get you back into the wallowing with the sow. Don't let them get you back eating the vomit like the dog. Don't go back and do that again. Hebrews says, if God permits, we'll go beyond the elementary principles. God has permitted that. So guess what? I'm not going back to the elementary principles. I'm going on, if God permits. He's permitted me to go on, I'm going on. I'm not looking back. I don't want to be Lot's wife and turn into a pillar of salt. fact, my doctor tells me you shouldn't eat salt anyway. So I don't need any salt. That's just a little joke. Okay, let's go to the last verse here in this. But grow in grace. Grow in grace. How do you grow in grace? What does the word grace mean? A divine influence into your heart and a reflection of that. So it's God's influence in your heart, isn't it? And a reflection of that out into your lifestyle. And he said, grow in grace and, cross out the next two words, in thee. So it should say, but grow in grace. That's the divine influence in your life, or God's influence in your life, and reflect that out in your lifestyle. And knowledge. Not just plain knowledge, but it's precise, correct, absolute knowledge. That's what it should say. Absolute knowledge. Grow in grace and the absolute knowledge of our Lord and deliverer, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now, and you know what that forever really means? It should say to the day of the age. That's what it says by the language. To the day of the age. To your age. To the day of your age when God brings you to his place. Okay? Now I want to go back and read verse 16. I lost my place there a minute. I'll get it again. I want to read verse 16 out of the Living Bible. Okay. Verse 16. Let me find it. Lay down a little bit. Okay. 15, 16 kind of go together. And remember why he is waiting. He is giving us time to get his message of salvation or deliverance out to others. Otherwise, and beloved brother Paul has talked about these same things in many of his letters. Some of his comments are not easy to be understood. And there are people who are deliberately stupid and always demand some unusual interpretation. They have twisted his letters around to mean something quite different from what he meant, just as they do the other parts of Scripture, and the result is disaster to them. Makes sense, don't it? Yes. Colossians 2:8. Okay, just a second. Colossians 2:8. Do you want 7 and 8? Let's see. Okay. Okay. Don't let others spoil your faith and joy. Colossians 2:8 in the Living Bible. Don't let others spoil your faith and joy with their philosophies, their wrong and shallow answers built on men's thoughts and ideas instead of what Christ has said. For in Christ there is all of God in a human body. And go on to say in 10, says, so you have everything when you have Christ, and you are filled with God through your union with Christ. This is the highest ruler with authority over every other power. That caps it right off, don't it? Okay. Well, I'm already ready for something else too, so. James. Right after Hebrews, right before Peter. You know. James is a very enlightening book also. But if everybody would understand that this is not a one-time read it and got it, you know, nobody gets it that way. Lord, I've read it so many times, and I can't even hardly read anymore because I can't trust the interpreter. There's no interpretation that's correct. So I have to break it down. I have to study it out to get the meaning of it. If I just casually read it, I can, at the same time, I'm guilty of perpetrating false doctrine when I just read it and speak it to somebody. And I don't want to do that. You know, if I just pick up a King James Bible or any other translation and read it to them, because there is no translation that is exactly right. I mean, they might have part of it right, but then the next line or next sentence, then I do something wrong. So I'm accountable for my words. I have to take everything apart and see if what they're saying is true or not. Does it fit the patterns? If it doesn't fit the patterns, I'm not going to speak it. So. I know I'm a unique individual. I'm sorry, I can't apologize for that, but I just got to do what I got to do. What's right is right, and that's the end of that. Kind of late in the ball game, be changing horses now. Kind of late in the middle of the stream, you know?